Welcome to the New Business Diaries, brought to you by the IPA New Business and Marketing Group. In this series, we speak to some of the biggest names in our industry on the hot topics in the new business world. I'm Christy Trinetti at M&C Saatchi, and in this week's podcast, I'm speaking with Christy McCready. For those of you that don't know Christy, she was former Global Director of PR, Media, and Marketing Services at Walgreens Boots Alliance, and most recently, Director of Marketing Communications at HomeServe. Today, we're going to talk about a bit of a different way into the conversation about new business and marketing, and really get a marketer's point of view on the subject. Funny that. I think it's a good opportunity to talk to Christy, who's been in marketing for how many years?
Oh, goodness. Let's say 2 decades, maybe. I started very young.
Okay. All right. And just get your point of view, essentially, on what it's like to be at the other side of the table. So I have some questions here. We don't need to go through them in any certain order, but I'd love to just have a chat, really, about your point of view. So I think first, I would love to know, you know, sitting on the other side of the table, being in the pitch room from an agency perspective, being really anxious and, you know, excited and nervous in the room. I was just wondering, in that context, how you, as the lead marketer, have been feeling in the past whenever you've been in the same sort of scenario.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's also fraught with a certain amount of anxiety, because the reality is most pitches come because what you're doing is not working. So there are rare occasions when you'll work on a brand and you'll think, you know what, I think we need to do something different, or I want to put something fresh in. Inevitably, though, you get to pitch because something you are doing is not quite right and you're not delivering the performance that the business expects of you. So there is a certain amount of anxiety for a client as well, because you're taking a big chunk of company change and you're saying, trust me, I'm going to find someone that's going to turn this into gold, even though maybe what I've done with it so far isn't quite working for whatever reason. So yeah, it is anxious on both sides.
I think that's fair. Actually, to that end, in, you know, going and asking for the chunk of money, who are the sort of key people within the organization that you need to keep on side in that process, and how do you bring them into the process without them literally being, you know, sat in the room, hearing the pitches, etc.?
Yeah, it's an interesting challenge, isn't it? There's more and more articles about the relationship between marketing and finance, and the relationship between your CMO and the CFO, and who holds the purse strings. And the reality is when I'm sat in a pitch, I can see the most exciting idea, but what's going through the back of my mind is how I'm going to convince the rest of the business that they need to buy into this. And that'll be finance. And, you know, I'm a creative at heart, so you can give me the best possible idea. What's in my mind is I've got someone in finance in Farrah trousers and a blue Marks & Spencer's pullover whose favourite TikTok creator is, you know, doing something around Excel spreadsheets, and I've got to sell into them whatever you've come at me with. And, you know, if I think of some of the ideas I've had, if you're going to come to me with octogenarian morning sex, all of it, these are all ideas, you know, that I've had, then I've got to somehow sell that into finance.
Right.
I need you to help me with that.
And do you have good examples of, I guess without naming names, but good examples of how agencies have helped you throughout this process, sort of sell it in? Is it sort of proof that it's going to work? What is it that they're giving you that gives you that confidence?
Yeah, it's not always proof that it's going to work. Like, related world case studies are always very good. There is a reason why. It's this double-ended sword of that you tend to go to an agency that's worked in your sector because they will know a competitor and they'll be like, we've done this piece of work with X competitor. Here's the performance results. You can use that to sell it in. However, you're like, well, it's not going to feel differentiated then. So you get stuck in this cycle of, because someone that's not worked in your sector, you've not got the right results. I think what's really important is in the beginning, the agency take the time to really understand your category and your business, even though they've not worked in it before. Because that's the thing that you've got to do. Like, you can't prove. I mean, I would love that there was a magic wand. Someone could push the viral button. We've come up with an idea. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's always got to be an element of belief within it. But it's having enough evidence base to be able to say, we really understand the business. We really understand the consumer and what you're trying to achieve. We really understand the category. For finance, here's some like graphs. that show that, and being able to sell that in totality rather than just the idea in isolation.
That's nice. I think sometimes, from my perspective, agencies tend to underestimate how much being really passionate about this, you know, the brand and the sector, etc., and really show evidencing your passion in I guess helpful ways is really, it seems like such an obvious thing, but I think sometimes you're just so caught up in it that you go in and you're just so busy telling the marketer what you think that they need to hear, rather than just sort of being a bit more, I don't know, fangirl maybe about the brand and saying, you know, if you truly are, though, I think it has to have come from a genuine place. So I guess my question off the back of that is, what at each stage in the process, let's say you're in a chemistry meeting with an agency, what have you seen from agencies that have stood them apart in sort of striking that balance between giving you the evidence that they can do the job, but also giving you, getting you excited about where they can take you and your brand? I guess, do you have any examples of where that's gone wrong or where that's gone really well?
Yeah, I think it's the, so I really want to work with people that want to work on my business. I've always been that way. I mean, the fact that we're here today is testament to that. You know, we worked together some years ago. You know, I feel incredibly lucky that we're still in contact because you're a great person. You were a great agency to work with.
I did not tell her to say that.
But I'm actually, there's very few agencies I've ever worked with that I'm still not in contact with in some way. Because I want, you know, for me, an agency is an extension of your team, and I want to work with them in partnership, and that's double-sided. You've both got to put the effort in. And in the pitch process, it's those that are the most, I guess, the most authentic and the most genuine, because every agency I've ever met tells me my brand is the best thing they've ever seen. And I've worked on some brilliant brands. I've also worked on some terrible ones. They were not the best brands the agency's ever seen. And they didn't really believe in it. And you can see that. And I think as well, it's having the bravery to be honest about it, you know, because, so I have worked with agencies that have said to me, do you know what, your category is dull as dishwater. But I think there's really great opportunity. So don't come in and kind of blow smoke up my ass straight away. Be really clear on, do you know what? I think we've got a challenge here. I think you're in a low interest category. I think you've got low levels of awareness. I think you've not invested the right amount that you need to, or you've invested in the wrong things or whatever it is. So here is an achievable plan we can get to together that's going to help us turn it around. It's that kind of transparency early on. That's when you really start to think, do you know what, this is an agency I can work with because we're in it together.
Do you think that takes a strong marketer, though, who is ready to be transparent about what isn't working in the business and is ready to hear that feedback? Because I've certainly been, I've experienced both. I've experienced the positive outcome of going in and saying, this is where we think this is where it's gone wrong potentially, and this is where we think we can help. And sometimes, you know, people love to hear that because they feel that you really get it. And other times it's sort of like, oh, I just need somebody to be really positive. And I just need an agency to be really positive. Yeah. And I don't want to say lipstick on a pig, but take all my problems and sort of, you know, erase them, and maybe gloss over them. I don't know. Do you think it takes a strong marketer to recognize where they're at? Or
yeah, I think it does. I think one of the biggest mistakes agencies and clients make is they don't put the right people in the room at the right time. So you look early on in the pitch stage, you get like senior marketeers that will like supposedly empower their teams. And often it's that they can't be asked. Like they want to wait until like the good stuff comes out. And it's like, yeah, build the relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And then on the flip side, you've got agencies like in the beginning, like let's send in all the big guns that will only ever turn up again at Christmas. And so you've got some really great thinking, but people aren't empowered to make a decision or vice versa. So I think it's what you need to do. It's not just the strength of the marketeers, but I think it's both sides being clear. You're the people that are going to work on my business and you're the people that are going to make the decision. And if in that early stages, if you're the decision maker and you're not investing time in understanding it, then you're letting your agency down and you're not going to have a successful pitch. Similarly, if you're an agency and you're just sending in the account director that's only coming back again with the credit card at Christmas, I mean, that's no bad thing, but you just don't get that's when you don't get this transparency and openness of relationship. So I think one of the most important things to do is right from the outset is be really honest about who are the decision makers on either side, who's doing the work, and who genuinely are the decision makers, because the decision makers need to be invested in building the relationship. And I think from a client side, if you're not putting those people in the room, you're never going to get the best out of an agency, and you're letting your agencies down. So you've got to find out, it's not just about the strength, it's are they the right people?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think to that end, there was a time, and I'd be curious to hear what you think about now, but there was a time where choosing that agency meant you had somebody to sit alongside you, potentially in the boardroom, potentially, you know, very upstream talking about business strategy, yep. not just marketing, but really, I think there was a time where agencies were really part of that decision-making process and, you know, sitting at the top table, as it were. And certainly there are still agencies and there are still individuals who are doing that. But do you feel that that's still as required as it was from agencies, or do you think it's missing? Or
do you know, I think it's missing, and I think it's more required than ever. And I think, you know, as I've gone through my career, what I've had to learn as a marketing director is I am never the smartest person in the room, and nor should I be. So when I was more junior in my career, I was like, I've got to sell my expertise all the time. I've got to say, look, here's a really great thing I've done. It's not. I shouldn't, as a marketing director, I should never be the smartest person in the room. I should empower my own team and their own expertise, and I should empower the agency team and their expertise. So if I've got to sell in a creative idea to the finance team, the role that I should play in that is helping the agency team understand who's the person they're selling to, what are their behaviours, yeah. what's going to really get them buying, what's going to turn them off the most, and then give them the opportunity to present it. Because I shouldn't be, my expertise as a marketing director is in the directing and finding the smartest people. And the minute I'm presenting someone else's idea, particularly if it's an idea that is quite new or different, it's the first time a business has tried that. Like, the minute someone can try and, like, pull a string, and if I can't confidently answer it, you can very easily unravel a brilliant pitch. Whereas having my partner by the side that's come up with the work, that's invested. And again, this goes back to the right people in the room.
Yeah.
From an agency, if you get in front of the C-suite as an agency to present, like, if you want to bring in your C-suite equivalent, by all means do it. But unless they know the work inside out and backwards, don't let them do the talking. Let the experts do the job that they're there to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You sort of touched on this, but I think I just want to talk about, I think in order for agencies to really understand the business, there, you know, there's only so far you can get in silos. And then, of course, part of the pitch process is the more interactions you have with the clients, the more questions you can ask, the more you'll know, and so on. So, but I do feel that more and more, maybe it's not as transparent of a process as it used to be. And what I mean by that is often you don't even know who you're pitching against until the final, you know, and you don't know how many agencies might be in the process. This isn't always, but I'm just examples. And I just wonder, you know, what is the duty of care there for marketers, and how transparent are you willing to be towards the goal of the more information I give you, the better that you'll perform, the better we'll all, you know, do in this process. So yeah, it's just a question about transparency along the process, and what is the marketer's role in really gearing up agencies to succeed in this process.
Yeah, and I never thought I'd say this, and some of my ex-procurement colleagues will, like, die of shock right now, but don't underestimate the relationship with procurement in the process as well. And I think that's the mistake that people make, because if a pitch is going well, then you're going to have the marketing team all over you like a cheap suit. If you're only getting calls from procurement, there's a red flag that something is not quite right. And I don't know necessarily. I think people tend to see procurement as a hindrance in the process.
Yeah, a hurdle, yeah.
Or a hurdle that they've got to overcome. And the best procurement teams I've worked with are where I've really genuinely worked in partnership, because they're there to help you get an equitable result for both parties. You know, sometimes, like, I can be a real great client. But sometimes I'm like the worst because I get excited. And I'm like, yeah, I want the world. Yeah, give me all of that. Mm. And I've got a teeny tiny budget, but you've like sold me a dream. And I'm like, yeah. And then procurement have to come in and fix it.
Rein you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, neither wants to be in that position. So I think that there is a, I think there's a bigger seat for procurement as a partner around the table and thinking about them as a partner rather than a barrier or a hurdle or a blocker. I think that's important. And I think, again, people need to lean on whoever is your lead client. Like, they'll be the decision maker, but rarely will they be the decision maker in isolation.
Mm.
They'll influence the decision, or they'll help you take the decision somewhere else in the business, you know, particularly if it's a big size investment. And their role is to set you up for success.
Mm.
Their role is to help you understand what are the barriers you've got to overcome in the business, what are the personalities of the people that you've got to overcome, even down to things like, you know, what type of presentation do you need to do? You know, how are you really going to make it work? That's where you work in partnership because, you know, ultimately, you've got to have built the relationship first. I think there's an element of this kind of like go slow to go fast, like build a really solid relationship with whoever is going to be your client going forward. Invest more time in that upfront because then they'll be able to be really clear with you what they need in order to sell it through into the business.
Yeah, I think there's everyone's under pressure, obviously. And we talked about it before we started recording, but budgets, you know, are decreasing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So there's this sort of sense of urgency about everything. And, you know, I don't want to say an element of anxiety, but I do think it can very much, it can overshadow just the simple things like what is the right thing for the business and how do we collectively come around that goal? And it might mean that it's going to take time to build this, but we can do it together. And I think, you know, so long as we're all on the same page and we're on the journey together, I think then you can map out, you know, a plan that says this is going to take time. And it will be an investment both in time and potentially financial investment, but the reward is this. And I just think, to that end, I think there's, how do you balance, I guess, in this pitch process, the urgent and what needs to happen right now with, you know, brand building and the plan that, you know, the 2 or 3 year plan that you have as a business? And how do you sort of rectify those things within a pitch context? Because it's challenging to strike that balance.
Yeah. And I think it's working back from it, isn't it? Because in a pitch, everyone wants it like now. It's like, so I'm going to write a brief. I'm going to write it as quickly as possible. So it'll probably be half as good as I could do if I spent more time on it. Then I'm going to want you to respond to it really quickly. And then I'm going to want to put it back to the business. And what happens is you get stuck on this hamster wheel of you've got a shit brief with no time to be able to do it. And then you get in front of a senior decision maker and it's like no one's done their best work. I think it's more time in. So I did a pitch fairly recently with a brand consultancy agency who, in the very first meeting I had with them, said, this is our process and this is how long it takes. And I was literally in the introductory stages and they're like, we've looked at a business of your size and scale. We've looked at what you're trying to achieve and it's going to take to get to the response that you want. End to end, it's going to take 12 weeks. And then they worked me back from the 12 weeks to say, so therefore we need to have concluded this by here, this by here. And it meant I was able to go, and when I'd been given the money by the business to go and brief them, the business had told me they wanted it in 6 weeks. But of course I went back and I said, it's going to take 12 weeks and here's why, and I've got a schematic and here's all the timelines and here's when you're going to be engaged. And everyone went, yeah, that's great.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And it doesn't happen all the time because, as I said at the very beginning, oftentimes when you go into a pitch, it's because something bad's happening in your business and you've got to fix a thing. However, I think it's that honesty that says, this is how long things take. Because otherwise, you know, I very rarely have worked with an agency that I've given a deadline to that they haven't met. However, I've oftentimes worked with an agency that's come up with work that's not their best. And that's because I haven't given them enough time to be able to do it. And that's no good for anyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess in that instance, it's like just clear communications, transparency.
Yeah.
Picking up the phone as well.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really old school, but pick up the phone. I think I think, again, in the sort of new business pitch context, it's very rare that you have direct access to a client in the pitch process.
Yep.
Often you're going through intermediaries or procurement. Yep. Or, you know, and so I guess to that end, you know, I sometimes wonder what benefit that would have had to agencies if they had more direct contact with marketers throughout the pitch process and could, you know, pick up the phone and say, look, we're not really getting the strategy. Can we just chat about it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I understand the need for an even
playing
field, but yeah. It's a lot of time and money and effort that the agency is investing.
Yeah.
And often it's a sort of, we're putting a lot into, you know, one phone conversation and
yeah.
sort of trying to, and then, you know, again, everyone has the same brief. So in theory, it should be whoever has taken that and really interpreted it into the best way. But I guess there's an element of it where you just go, should we have more direct conversations, more as part of the pitch process, more access to clients?
So I think yes, and I think as well within your terms of engagement, like setting out what the pitch process is. So when I go into a pitch, I'll speak to my procurement person. And they will say, how do you want to run the pitch? They'll always ask me the question. Procurement will always ask me the question. Now, if you think in most businesses, particularly businesses of a medium scale, you've got a procurement team that work across multiple categories. So they're looking at your creative pitch, and they're also looking at a pitch for a new toilet roll. And to them, it's linear.
Mm.
So they just think, well, we need this cost here.
Mm.
We'll have a little discussion about it. We'll get this cost here, and then we've got some new toilet roll.
Mm.
Great. Like, creative isn't working in the same way.
Mm.
So I'll always be asked how I want to run the pitch process. Very rarely, though, do I get an agency come back and say, this is how we would like to run our pitch
mm.
process.
And are you open to that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%. Because I can say, well, I want two meetings. Because the challenge is in that pitch process, as much as I'd love to say, you can have all the time in the world, we'll
sure.
talk about everything, it'll
yeah.
be great. You're not, because like, you want to six agencies, and I want to help you be successful, but I've got to make it a fair and level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's when you get the first response and that first introduction, and you're like, you're going to get a PowerPoint deck on this date, and you're going to get a 30-minute call on this date,
mm.
and then ta-da, you've come up with the magic 2 weeks later. I think at that point, that's when your agency needs to be better at challenging to say, to give you the absolute best, we need this access and we need this time. And really push for it. And I think it gives you more credibility
mm.
If you're able to. Now, because you'll soon, like if you've done enough pitches, you'll soon sniff if it's an agency dragging their heels or being
mm.
difficult or whatever, which, you know, people aren't. But I think it's okay for you to say,
mm.
we need more than that.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Yeah. I think, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of the Pitch Positive Pledge that the IPA launched, which sort of encapsulates what you were just saying insofar as just making sure that from a mental health perspective in particular, the pitch process can be incredibly grueling and exhausting and, you know, a major investment for agencies. And so it was sort of at its best meant to just give voice to some of the negative behaviors that may have happened previously. Things like, you know, running pitch processes over holidays and making, you know, expecting an answer on a Monday, knowing that people will be working all weekend. And so I think, agencies are often in a position where they don't want to put their head above the parapet or whatever the expression is, because they're worried that in doing so, they might be knocked down a peg against the competition. But I guess you're saying that you would welcome discussion and debate about how to run a better process towards the goal of a better result. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%. You know, because if you think about it, like when you work on a brand, it's your baby, right? You want the most success that you possibly can. And it's, you know, it's the same as, like, you wouldn't give your baby to the worst childminder. Like, well, they're the cheapest and, like, they're the most available, so like, here you go, take Johnny and run with it. You want the one that you know is going to give you the best overall response. And it's the same when you look in at an agency.
Mm.
You know, So I know I can be demanding. Like,
no.
I can. There's no way, two ways about it. Like, I can be difficult. Like, sometimes I've listened to myself halfway through a conversation with an agency and I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. But then I'm like too far in and I've got to go with it. But, you know, I can be demanding. I can be exacting. I'm really clear on what I want. But at the same time, I'm always open to feedback. Like, I know my own weaknesses and I know my own failings, and I give everybody I've ever worked with, regardless of whether they're internal or external, absolute permission to say to me, Christy, that is not okay, or we need time and we need to take time back to do that properly, or, you know, the agency need more time. And I think if you can't get to a place where you've got that relationship with a true agency partner, you're never going to get the best work.
Mm.
You're really going to get half-assed attempts at, well, I've just filled this in because I've got to get it done on a Friday and I've got to get out to the school run. Whereas if you were to say to them, do you know what? Actually, I get it. Like, I'm asking too much right now, and you guys all need the weekend. Like, you're for sure going to come back the following week with the best possible work.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's the least successful relationships will always be where they're transactional.
Mm.
And like, if you get to a place where your agency doesn't feel that you're in it with them and that they're supported and that you're overworking them, you're never going to get the best work. And then you've only got yourself to blame for that in how you've managed that relationship.
Mm. Well said. I'm sort of nodding along, which no one can see. I think there's a question then that comes to mind, which is, how in the process can agencies tick a lot of those boxes that you just described? So prove to you that they are interesting and interested.
Yeah.
Prove to you that they have the technical capabilities, but also prove that they're going to be that partner for you. So there's a lot of things,
yeah,
for lack of a better way to describe it, that, you know, we as agencies need to prove. And I guess you get geared up, you're ready to tell your agency story, you sit down.
Yeah.
And how have agencies, I guess, from your perspective, differentiated themselves, or have they, in that process?
Well, they're all differentiated, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, we're all very different, yes.
I saw a brilliant Rob Mayhew TikTok last week of, like, the agency pitches, and it's like, we're different.
Yeah.
When you've heard the same pitch, like, 100 times over. But it is about, so I think that sometimes it's weird. I think a lot of people spend time selling the technical skills. And the technical skills is the bit I've got the most awareness of. Because when I go out to pitch, I've not just, like, thrown a six to start and picked six agencies with nice offices and, like, big expense accounts.
I think those days are behind us, but
sadly,
sure.
Yes,
sure, yeah.
Sadly. But I've looked at their work. Like, I will have, whoever gets on to a pitch list is there for a reason.
Mm.
I've looked at their work.
And
I've
where, just out of curiosity, when you say I've looked at their work, where are you looking for their work? Where are you going as a marketer and to get this information? And
it will vary, to be honest. So again, your procurement partner spends, you know, has got a big role to play in that. You know, I will go to my procurement team and ask them for recommendations. You know, so if you've got businesses that you want to prospect as an agency, like, make sure the procurement team have seen your latest showreel and they know what you're working on. But so I will go to the procurement team. I will look at good advertising and then go and find out who's done it.
Mm.
I will look for good people, and find out where they're working now, and then look at companies I admire and see who they're working with. All of these things will come together. So I won't have just pulled
random list together out of thin air.
So sort of there's an element, not all of it, but because you don't know if it's still the same people in the business, etc. But there's an element of, trust me that I've done some research into the technical skills. And I think a lot of agencies sell that up front, when really what I want up front is the partnership and that sense of, can we really deliver something brilliant together, something that's achievable together as well. Because if I had a pound for every time I've been sold an idea that then it turns out is not within my budget but it's an extension idea, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Or if we were, we'd be in Barbados. So it's that, you know, that transparency, the realness, like, focus on that up front. Let me really show you not how I can make a great advert, but how I can be a really brilliant partner to you. Because here's the people that you're going to work with, here's, you know, here's how we're invested in understanding you and your business. I've been lucky enough to work with some really brilliant agencies. One of my favourites, I mean, I love all of my children, but one of my favourites will always be the Red Consultancy.
Mm.
And when you speak to the team at the Red Consultancy about their pitch on the boots business, so Amanda and Perina can, many, many years later, still word for word recite the conversation they had on the train home after their final pitch, because they were so invested in it.
Yeah.
And they really, really wanted it. And you know, when someone is that invested, you're going to do something good together. And, you know, we did incredible work together. So I think it's that really showing you understand the business and the people that you're working with, less than the technical skills that says we're going to be differentiated and we're going to go viral together.
It would be great, though, to go viral together, I mean, that wouldn't would be it? Amazing. Come on.
Yeah, if someone could
just want to pull it viral, please. Yeah. You said a lot there. I think.
Sorry.
No, I'm thinking. You said a lot of great stuff.
Oh,
I think sometimes agencies fall into the trap of just sort of having to feel like, okay, well, we have a process, and it's the bespoke agency process, and this is how we get to great partnerships, or this is how we get to great work, and whatever. And those things are valid to a degree, but I think only if you actually live and breathe those things. Because, I mean, I've personally, you know, I think marketers are can sniff out what's real, as you just said, and what's not. What do you actually stand up for as an agency? Or is this something that you whacked on a slide because it sounds good?
And
do you, again, this seems like a really obvious thing, but are you a group of people that I think actually get along together? Or the second I walk out of this room, are you just going to be bickering with one another about, you know, who said what and what we could have done differently and whatever? So I guess you just gave me an example of a pitch where the team, you knew the team had come out of it feeling like, wow, that went really well. Have you been in the room for any pitches that you've run where you just went, holy shit, they nailed it? And it could be literally any brand or any context, even maybe not even in a pitch context, but just that sort of feeling when like, wow, they really got it. And I'm going to call them tomorrow and tell them you've won, sort of thing.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, there's, you know, I've seen some really, really brilliant work. And I think it, again, it comes down to really understanding the business and the people that you're working with. So I just did some work for HomeServe, and we'd done a new creative, a new consumer positioning, come up with a new target consumer. And we worked with the creative team to do a new TV ad. And the very first, I was sat in their office, and they put up the scamps for the idea, and they hadn't even finished telling the story, and I knew that it was going to be good work, and I knew I was going to be able to sell it into the business. And it was a brilliant meeting. We had some great sandwiches as well, if I remember rightly.
Crucial.
Yeah. But they just got it. They really got it. And the reason that they really got it is because they'd really listened and got under the skin of what we were trying to achieve. And that's not to say that that's a new skill. But they came at it from a perspective of, they weren't, when I was presenting what we needed to do for the brand and what we needed to do and drive differently, they weren't waiting for me to finish to present their idea. They came at the initial conversation with a, we've got a blank canvas. We understand your business challenges. We understand your business. We've got a blank canvas in what we're trying to achieve. And not everything I was presenting to them in terms of the work we'd done, they agreed with. But they were truly open-minded into, well, let's find a way that we can deliver and add some kind of delight on top of that. And I knew in the first meeting when they came up with the creative idea that they'd just really got it. And it really delivered for us. And also as well, what they did is they presented, if I remember rightly, they did have two or three ideas, but very, very similar. One of the things I particularly dislike, and I heard someone on a webinar the other week talk about it, is when agencies kind of bring in what they call a blue duck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, they've got one brilliant idea, and, like, let's present something shit so it makes the brilliant idea look even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know.
The marketers will never know, yeah.
Yeah. We will know. And, like, you're wasting your time, and you're wasting my time, and you lack credibility.
Yeah.
And, like, if you've got one really good idea, present one really good idea. Like, I think people get trapped in there. We've got to have 16 different ideas in order to show breadth. Like, you don't. If you've got an idea that's good enough, you can show that one idea and then show how you can translate it into extension ideas. But if you've got one thing that you know is genuinely grounded in understanding the brand's insight and consumer behaviors, sometimes that's enough.
Yeah. And, you know, I think if I think of every pitch that I've sort of won or been part of the winning team for, it's when we've stood confidently behind our thinking and one idea and just sort of, instead of feeling the need to, you know, mock it up in every execution and just so that we can prove we're integrated. It's more about telling that story and being really clear on what, again, what business impact and how that idea will evolve over time, what it will look like potentially in year two, et cetera. So it's more of a sort of, I guess, broader view, but without having to just get into the weeds on having to evidence it, if you see what I mean, or have you know, multiple different ideas.
Yeah, because I think what you really want is an idea where, and again, I think this is why the Rocket Mall work really is a good example. When they presented that work to us, we were sat with the creative team. I could instantly feel myself thinking, well, do you know what? And we could do this for this channel, and we could do this for this. Like, I could see the extension ideas without me having to sit through 15 more slides of PowerPoint where they've shown some mocked up Facebook posts where you're like, oh, okay.
So I see what you did there. You put the picture in Facebook. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, and again, it's that, I think that's that danger of when people, like, they go, like, when agencies go too far to show I've got a full, complete, integrated idea, which takes so much work. Like, and I'm going to need that, like, back to when I'm with chief finance guy in his fire trousers, 100% you're going to need to show what it's going to look like in channels that they understand for sure. But when you're at that early stage, like show me that, it's almost that show me that you kind of know what I'm trying to achieve as a marketeer.
Yes.
And then let me have some involvement in it as well.
Yeah.
Because that's when you'll get the most buy-in and the most longevity from it.
Well said. I think that is going to wrap up a bit nicely. I think that final point on bringing collaboration maybe is the worst word, but probably the most obvious in terms of, don't treat the final pitch meeting as a presentation where you're going and here it is, ta-da, sort of thing. It's a, we've built momentum, hopefully, at this point, if I'm in the pitch.
Yeah.
Together to get to this stage. Now you're just as bought in as, you know, it's to the point where you feel like you helped shape the thing that you're seeing in front of you. And I think that is sometimes really easy to miss and hard to get right.
Yeah, I think it's often overlooked because, you know, as marketeers, we're often frustrated creatives. And when people say there's no such thing as a bad idea, they're full of shit. There's like there's some really terrible ideas out there. I know because I've had them. And like, if you've worked out your plan and then I'm like, hang on a minute, we could change that and we could bring in this and we could add in this. And you're like, Jesus Christ, that's the last thing that we need.
Yeah.
However, giving me some element of creative control and freedom means we're arm in arm taking an idea through together.
Yeah.
And if we're going in, you know, to your earlier point about should your agency team be at the C-suite table 100%, you should be going in as a creative pairing or a creative triple if you've got a creative pairing, however you, but you should be going in together with a sense of this is our idea.
Yes.
We really believe in this. We can really demonstrate how it's going to grow the brand. It's going to deliver a great commercial return. And we're really, really invested in it. If you've got an internal and an external team that are really joined up and believe in that together, and you can demonstrate the impact it will have, that's a really hard thing for your Farrah Trouser Brigade to turn against.
Nice.
So, you know, the power of doing that together should never be overlooked.
Brilliant. Well, let's end there. I think, well, thank you. is the long and short of it. Thank you for your time, and I thought that was really interesting. Hopefully other people do as well.
Yes, let's hope so.
Yeah.